We refuse to let insurance companies do the same.
At AMO Trial Lawyers, we have assembled a team of not only attorneys, but also contractors, adjusters, engineers, and estimators with the focus of maximizing your claim value and assisting in your recovery.
If you think your insurance company isn't treating you fairly, get a name that insurance companies know by calling 985-446-3333. I'm Matt Ory.
And I'm David Ardwin.
And we are the AMO Advantage.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belts and related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodaux, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Sarah Spain.
She is resigning now in this moment because she has been proven to have failed all of those girls.
And me, Jason Fitz, are Spain and Fitz. We are back.
College football has built into it nostalgia.
Sarah Spain.
A connection to a community. This will not have that.
Jason Fitz.
He is, when he is healthy, considered to be one of the great young pieces in the game.
Spain and Fitz returns weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George. Maddie Hudak is ready to go. We'll talk to her about what she saw this weekend up close and personal. She's wearing her Tulane long sleeve shirt. That was a hint to what I'll be asking her first after we get to Ken, after we get to this.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me.
Today's more that Camel Wednesday, hump day, is that what it is?
There you is, Shock Team and Digital Underground Head Coach Sean of the Peyton, Caleb the Camel. Matty Hudak in studio with you, Gus Kattengill, hour number 3-800-998-1003 is the number to call in. Chime into the conversation. We're going to be talking about not only the Saints, sure if you want to talk about the Pels here as well, the Graph will do so at 2:45 to preview. After the some words of wisdom, we'll go to Ken.
And to all the ladies. Peace and humpiness forever.
Maddie, I don't know about you, but peace and humpiness forever sounds like a really good recipe for just a good life, man.
Peace, love.
Yeah.
Live, laugh, love.
Don't forget the humpiness. Ken, thank you for chiming in. How are you today? Hello, Ken. Ken.
Ken, you hear us?
I hear Ken. Hello, Ken. Ken.
Bueller.
Yeah, he's there. I can hear Ken. He just doesn't hear
Ken us. Might want to call back.
All right, let's put Ken on. Oh, there he goes.
There we go. Well, he heard us clearly.
How are you?
I am, I'm good. There's no news to unpack. I'm just enjoying my very calm, uneventful.
All right, look, we all know the Michael Thomas thing.
Right.
And you kind of commented a little bit on there here as well. Obviously, quarterback is probably the biggest issue on that. Again, we get media updates as to who will be made available. And I'm not revealing anything that, is insider info or anything, but the Saints will let you know who's available today after practice. And it's not quarterback. And the reason I bring that up is because on Wednesday, historically, for as long as I can remember, the starting quarterback, that's the day, because it's the first practice. So that's the day that he's made available. Well, Drew Brees, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill when he started last year, that's how we knew Taysom Hill was going to start last year because he was made available on Wednesday, the week before he came in and started. Saints not making a quarterback available today, and I got to imagine that is on purpose. Traquan Smith, Quan Alexander, C.J. Gardner-Johnson says maybe another to be determined.
I mean, why would you? Like, why would you give the Falcons any type of competitive edge in knowledge?
I'm 100% with this. Tell me Friday.
Right, because I feel
have them have to go through 2 days of practice not knowing who's going to quarterback.
I feel like last year it was less of a question mark because everyone knew, the promise that he had made to Taysom Hill in the offseason, this, right. That, and the other. But I have heard fair enough arguments for both quarterbacks and not knowing Taysom's health status that it's enough of a cover for them to kind of, you know, put this down to the line and make the Falcons really have to prepare for the possibility of both quarterbacks. And I think that works well in their favor. So why not? We might want to know, but.
No, I hear you. And like I said, we're going to go through the, I don't want to say pros and cons, but why perhaps you feel Taysom Hill should be the starting quarterback and what he would bring to it. John, thank you for calling us on the Sports Hangover, 800-998-1003. What you got, man?
Happy hump day, Gus, Maddie. Happy hump day. Thank y'all for taking my call.
Sure.
A couple quick things, one about the Saints and one about the Pelicans. I'll start with the Saints since I got Maddie in studio. But I just wanted to say I've had a little bit of an issue over the last couple days with Saints fans, and I wanted to get y'all's perspective. But the whole idea of getting, like, a dynamic quarterback or trading for a quarterback or even trading for, like, a playmaking wide receiver hasn't really sit well with me. Now, granted, would that be an upgrade? Absolutely. But would that be required to win games? I'm not really confident that I could say yes. Because, like, let's just look at example. Like, you have a stout run game between Kamara, and now you made a trade for Ingram. So you've got the run game, which I think is top five in the league. You've got a defense, which is top five in the league. Most of the times when you look at winning caliber teams, those are the two recipes. The quarterback can sometimes be a fill-in. The pass game can sometimes just be a fill-in. Even when you look at last year, for example, you've got Tom Brady, Evans, Godwin. That wasn't what won the championship for Tampa Bay. They had a stout defense, and then Fournette came alive in the run game. And then even historically, when you look at the Giants, for example, with Eli Manning, the Baltimore Ravens with Joe Flacco, even if you go as far back as the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with Dilfer, who really wasn't that dynamic of a quarterback, those teams all went on to win the Super Bowl. I'm not saying the Saints are going to win the Super Bowl, but I am saying I don't think the Saints really need to stress this year on a quarterback or a wide receiver, and I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on that.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of that, and I think example A would be the 38-3 win where they, you know, ran the ball four times against the Saints and the air ball didn't work. I think an elite quarterback long-term in the NFL, that might, you know, be a different conversation. But in terms of this season, and like you said, I think if Ingram wasn't on the team, I would be looking at this entirely differently. But I can agree with you on the wide receiver thing, even in light of the Michael Thomas news, because to me, Thomas was so reliable and familiar with not just this offense, but every single one of the potential quarterbacks, or perhaps not Simeon, but trading for another one, they don't have that same familiarity where he was the first look for those quarterbacks. And then, yeah, in terms of a quarterback, any quarterback that would be available would be coming at a stark cost. And in the middle of the season, they're not going to be up on the playbook right away. Whereas the case for both of them, and arguably Taysom, is again, he knows this offense so inherently that to get someone out on the outside of things, rather than go with someone that is in this quarterback room in the middle of this season, I'm with you that this is the more prudent approach. Rely on your defense, like you said, rely on that run game. It might be kind of 1970s football, but I'm all for it.
And John and Maddie, quickly, if I can interject, I think the other aspect of it, too, is, as I talked with Larry Holder earlier on the show, I don't know who my quarterback is next year. Even Taysom is a one-year contract,
exactly.
Right? So whatever assets I have, look, I said it earlier. Draft picks this year, Peyton Turner. I think he's good. Let's get him healthy. I'd love to see him, right? Pete Werner, my goodness, the impact he's had. Paulson Adebo is a starting corner. You like Ian Book and the potential in 2 to 3 years perhaps with him, maybe even next year. Landon Young has already seen action, and Kwon Baker-Wilson. But my point
in
is,
Sean Payton, I am full
matter.
Willing to trust in.
And
yes.
That's what I'm saying. Some people are like, man, just give up a third, just give up a fourth. You know what? I don't know what my team is going to be like next year, but I have a really good defense. I have a nice young nucleus. Let's just see what happens this year.
When the Rams win the Super Bowl, then you can maybe tell me differently. But
exactly. John?
The run game, too, is like you said, you can't forget about that run game. But like I said, I just wanted to stress, the Saints not making a move, I think, is going to be ultimately the best move. Like, regardless of who you would have traded for, whether it was Odell Beckham or you traded for a quarterback, the Saints not making a move at the trade deadline in the long run is going to be the best move for this team, especially going into the next year. I don't want to hold you up, too, but briefly, Gus, I wanted to talk about the Pelicans. The other thing that's just not sitting right with me is I know we're mentioning, I know it's a parking lot separation between how the Saints run and how they conduct business versus the Pelicans. But I just want to say, as a fan watching these first eight games, you cannot say that the way that the Pelicans have carried themselves this year has been, you know, very, like, it has not been like a, oh, poor us, we don't have Zion, we don't have B.I. Obviously, they're not getting the result that you want, and I understand that we're tired of hearing, like, the moral victories and stuff like that. But it was just 3 years ago the Pelicans swept the Blazers. Like, that was a 2018 season that they swept the Blazers. Like, this isn't like we're rebuilding every year again. It was just 3 years ago that they swept and won a playoff game. This team is very young, and not only that, but you have Valanciunas and Graham, who, yes, they're veterans, but they're brand new to this system. You can't come in the first year and expect these guys to just take over the culture. I mean, these are guys in their first year in a Pelicans uniform. So I just want to say to the Pelicans fans, you just got to stay committed to what's going on. I firmly believe if Zion comes back in ample time and you have Brandon Ingram, they're going to make the play-in. And I've made numerous bets on it. But I just think in terms of that questioning of culture, I don't think that's appropriate yet, given that you still have a brand-new coach, young guys. Like, I understand we're not getting results, but it's there. The culture is developing, and it's there.
And 100% agree. Just facts.
Yep. No doubt. Thank you, John. Appreciate the phone call.
Thank you, guys, for taking my call. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. 800-998-1003. Manny Hudak, Gus Kangel in studio with you. Jay, what you got for us today, man?
Gus, it's Dave. That's okay. This is what I want to tell you. You got to get rid of your pessimism about the Saints. They got the best coach in the NFL, and I don't care who wants to disagree with me. I know what Sean Payton can do. Mm-hmm. He's gone 13-3 with five quarterbacks. Now look at this schedule. Atlanta twice. Carolina, the Jets, Miami.
And Titans know Derrick Henry.
And, yeah, and you tell me who's going to beat them out of those seven.
We're not pessimistic, I unless you're kind of referring to the, you know, consensus going around, which, you know, I can see, you know, maybe a bit of skepticism instead of pessimism. But I've been willing to trust Sean Payton this entire time. Yeah. And I think that whichever quarterback, this offense will be designed in a way, because it's not the same thing as when Breeze went out for a four-game stretch. They haven't faced a season-ending injury this soon in the season before with their quarterback. So this is unprecedented in that aspect. So it's not the same thing as Hill coming in or Simeon coming in,
Four games knowing exactly. You just have to make through. Now, right. No, like, here's the thing. I do think, especially in the next three games, I said two of these next three, they're winnable. I mean, they're very winnable. I'm not saying Tennessee isn't.
All three are winnable.
But I'm just saying, you got to. If you can get two of three, that next quarter games appears, at least on paper, right, to be a little more difficult. Bills, Cowboys at the Jets on December 12th in the snow and cold. Who knows? They beat the Bengals. So I can't discount them now. And then at Tampa. I need two or three. I don't care how you get them. I don't care if it's the next two or if it's you don't. No, you got to win this weekend. My point is, if you can get to seven.
And Taysom Hill happens to match up very well against the Falcons.
Because I think 10 gets you in the postseason. If you can get to seven, you got a bunch of games to just get three more. No?
God.
Yeah, I'm listening.
All right? Kudos, you know we're in the dome. And then with Tampa at home, we're the only team in the NFL that's beaten Green Bay and Tampa. So I don't care who's playing quarterback for Sean Payton, he'll find a way to win.
That's a combined 13-3 record, eight MVP awards between those two teams, and they just, you know, beat the reigning Super Bowl champions and perhaps the greatest quarterback of all time in Brady with a third string backup. And a bunch of receivers that had first NFL receptions, three of their four total NFL receptions. Mark Ingram with you know, receiving chemistry with quarterbacks he met yesterday. I mean, I don't know how you could see that game on Sunday and think anything other than the Saints, if nothing else, have continued to find a way to win every game this week. And a lot of that is coaching.
Let me say one last thing about the defense. Maybe I'm crazy and a stupid optimist. This defense, the 2009 defense, all right, they had a lot of no-names. Nobody knew who these guys were, and they played their butts off and won one bowl and almost got to another. This defense is better than both of those, but they're very similar in a lot of ways.
Yep.
Defense and a running game will carry you anywhere in the NFL. That's all I got, Gus. I'm out.
Thank you, man. Appreciate the phone call. 800-998-1003. Quick break. We'll try to get a hold of Ralph Marlboro as well. Feel free to keep calling in, though. We'll mix you in with everything. The graphic 245 to preview tonight's Pels Kings game, and I mentioned at the top of the hour you're wearing the Tulane long sleeve there. You saw up close and personal the number two team in the country. The college football playoff rankings came out yesterday. They're now number six, not in the top four. And I'd like to get your opinion on that. We had Coach Fritz on at the top of the 1 o'clock hour. He thinks they're one of the top four teams, and he played Oklahoma this year, who's in four. Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, Oregon. Sorry, Oklahoma's not. They're eight. Ohio State, Cincinnati, Michigan, Oklahoma, Wake Forest, Notre Dame. Your top 10 teams per the college football playoff rankings. Quick break. More on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Play guitar and I sing my songs in the sunshine. Captain and cloaks and barroom jokes keep me feeling fine. And there's always a stage and a beautiful babe to squeeze my life. In my simple way, guess you could say I'm living in the big time.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
El Paso Mexican Grill and Steakhouse, Highway 1 in Raceland, features fantastic, authentic Mexican food and steaks. They have great lunch specials Monday to Fridays, plus enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. And on Fridays, it's 2-for-1 margaritas from open to close, plus live music on Friday evenings. El Paso Mexican Food and Steakhouse on Highway 1 Raceland.
We're proud to announce we've received HealthGrades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
All right, we've got lucky caller number 4, Marcus, on the line. If he answers this question, he wins a new car.
Let's do this.
Okay, for a new car, name the only actor to appear in...
And now a message from our sponsor.
With 24/7 support and quick and easy claims, Progressive protects what matters most. Progressive.
Films all in the same year.
Wait, sorry, I didn't hear the question.
3 seconds, Marcus.
Yeah, no, but there was an ad in the middle.
You didn't answer.
I didn't hear anything.
Marcus, you dropped it in the dirt.
Progressive. There's never a bad time for great protection.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Ralph Marmer in the On Deck Circle, Uptown Will, wants to chime in. Give me your best 90 seconds, sir, so we can get to our guest. How are you? Thank you for holding on. Hello, Uptown Will. Hello.
You know, basically, yeah. Me, Gus.
Yeah, man, I can hear you.
Hey, how you doing? Look, I just want to say, basically, Gus, the thing is, when it comes to the Saints, I was briefly say, we've been really a arm away from winning Super Bowls the last few years, and I mean, he brought.
Hello, Will.
Same situation. You can hear me?
Yeah, you're going in and out. Start again. An arm away from the Super Bowl, and then you said what?
Yeah, we've been an arm away from the Super Bowl the last few years. And Trevor brought Denver to the playoff when he was with Denver behind a great defense. And then Taysom been winning games for us. So, I mean, I don't worry about the Saints and I didn't think Michael Thomas was going to come back this year. I mean, it made sense. But far as the Pels, look, I've been a season ticket holder since they was the Hornets, Gus, and I am as well with the Saints. And I will say this, man, I've been very impressed with how they've been on the court. You know, they've been balling. They've been, man, I love Herb Jones. I love all the new additions. You know, I love everybody. I like the coaching. I like the adjustments he's making, you know. And but the issues, I still say, the issues is we be letting these players sit around and with these injuries, man. I mean, LeBron played with a broken finger or something like that last year. I mean, I remember Eric Gordon had a bruised thigh, something like Brandon Ingram have. I'm more on, look, let's trade Zion and B.I. and go get one of these young stars who, you know, ready to ball. I'm sorry, Gus.
Well, I'll say this, Uptown Will. I'll say this as we got to bring in Ralph here, but I'll say, one of those young stars or like Ja, I'm like, they got to want to get rid of them. And if they're doing well, that team's not going to want to get rid of them. So I hear what you're saying.
Well, I say Bradley Beal, and like, DeAndre
again,
Fox.
They also want to come, have to want to come here as well. It's a little more complicated. I understand what you're saying. You want somebody to come in, make an impact in ball, and more importantly, be healthy. Thank you, Uptown Will. Appreciate it, buddy.
All right. No problem.
Yep, for sure. Ralph Marlboro, appreciate you holding on, sir. How are you this afternoon? Hello, Ralph. How are you?
I'm good, Gus. I was excited last week. I was on with you and Maddie, and we manifested Mark Ingram to the Saints.
What can we do today? What magic? Do?
I don't know. Maybe Odell, like the operation, get me to NOLA. He's initiated the launch sequence. Like
got sent
him.
Home today. As a
and
matter of fact,
clear waivers, and then we can have Odell back in the world. Thanks.
I mean, we manifested Mark Ingram last week. I'm not going to put it out of the question.
You know what? Look, quick interruption. Here is Kevin Stefanski after practice today.
Odell will not be out there. He's been excused. Andrew Berry and his representatives are continuing to talk. So for today, Odell will not be out there. Yeah, I think they're discussing a lot of things. And the truth is, guys, I don't have a ton of details for you. I'm happy to answer as much as I can. But I think some things we'll know more as we go.
Is he asked to be released?
Yeah, again, that's something that I think his reps and Andrew would talk through.
What kind of distraction is this for you, Kevin, with those videos and all this talk?
Yeah, I think, Jeff, we work really hard in this building to concern ourselves with things that are going on in this building and concern ourselves with the Cincinnati Bengals, and that's really where we get laser-focused on the task at hand.
Are you preparing to play Sunday without Odell at this point?
I'm really just worried about today, Jake. He's excused today.
My dad can never have nice things.
So there you go. Ralph, when you hear that, though, and I get it. He's a receiver. I get it. He was really good at one point. I get it, yet I don't. I don't know if I want him in our locker room. Am I wrong on that?
I mean, here's the thing. Like, the Saints receivers are so terrible.
I know.
Like,
I mean, they brought in Antonio Brown last year, guys.
Bring him in. And, like, if he doesn't work out, you just cut him. Like, it's not a big deal. I don't think that the Saints can't claim him because they don't have the cap space. So, like, you just convince him to come. And if it doesn't work out, you cut him. But I will say this. I don't understand. Like, if the Saints and Cleveland were talking about trading for him yesterday, like, if you're Cleveland and you know the relationship is broken, like, don't you have to get him out the door? Because you're going to pay him. You're basically paying him to go home, right? So why wouldn't you pay him and get a draft pick from the Saints unless Cleveland didn't understand that, like, once the trade leaked, like, the relationship was really over and they didn't understand that? Or maybe the Saints are like, you know, we'll just wait for you to cut him. You know, so, but maybe the Saints pulled out of it. But it's just, like, this, it just makes no sense to me. Cleveland, like, what they're doing with him. Like, it seems to me like they knew yesterday they had to get him out, but I don't know.
Yeah, that's a bit bizarre. But also just on the locker room thing, I always will go back to Janoris Jenkins having an absolute meltdown in the New York Giants locker room and then saying zero words about that ever since when he came to New Orleans. So I think if anyone can come in this culture on the scale of like, you know, one to crazy, I think OBJ is really, really low on the list.
I like – the thing is with the Saints, though, is they, this year, like, it is – the best of everything for, like, us is, like, media and people create content because it's complete and utter chaos,
yeah,
and they're winning. They should not be 5-2. They should be like a 1-6 dumpster fire, and we should be like, this just, everything went wrong. What can you do? Let's look at mock draft. Like, that's what this team should be, and yet somehow they're gonna, if they win Sunday, they're in first place by themselves. It's amazing.
I've never had more fun during a football season in a long time than that.
Ralph, what's fun, I guess, from a fan standpoint, same thing, Maddie, is this, right? We're not going to be, oh, my God, we won. It actually makes it more fun when that, right? Because when you expect to win, then, Ralph, you have the 1%er problems. You didn't win by enough. You didn't beat a team by enough. You didn't look good doing it. Brandon Cook says, well, we scored 50 points, but I didn't get a touchdown. That's what happens when you're expected to win. I still can't believe that day. The Saints dropped 50, and he's upset he didn't get involved. Who are you starting at quarterback, Ralph? Who would you start?
I don't know. I'm still working on my Channel 4 column. I'm trying to cram as many Trevor Siemian looks like your next door neighbor jokes as I can into that column. The only thing I can think of is, it's so hard because if you start Siemian, you get to play Taysom in his joker position, and he can do all kinds of stuff, which the Saints need, because we just talked about how their receivers are so bad, and Taysom gives them something. He's great in the red zone. He gives them a tight end option. But at the same time, like, Maddie, you watch a lot of this film. Would it be interesting for Sean Payton to say, look, Taysom, you're going to play quarterback now, but here's the deal. We're done trying to, like, develop you and make you, like, a real NFL quarterback where you're going to make reads. Here's what you're going to do, my man. You're just going to make one read. If it's not there, you're going to run.
Run, yeah.
And don't fumble. And, like, that's the plan, and they get, like, extra weird, and they're running all this stuff with read options with Kamara and all kinds of stuff like that. Like, that would be, I think, as if you just talked about it again, like, how much fun it is. Like, Taysom just doing 100% Taysom Hill-type stuff at quarterback would just be amazing fun. So I have no idea where he's going to go with quarterback. I really don't, because I could see both sides of it. If I had to guess, he's kind of loyal to Taysom, so I'll lean there. They'll go Taysom.
Well, to me, it's not just the loyalty as much as it is just when you look at the fact that there was a quarterback competition that lasted into the second preseason game and Trevor Siemian was not included in that conversation. I feel like, you know, if it was any other quarterback, to be quite honest with you, people would be saying he was the other one in the QB competition. He should get the shot. I know people don't think that Taysom's a quarterback, but I think you make a great point with that. And I agree that we're over the trying to develop him thing. This is, what can we do with a combo of Mark Ingram, Alex Armaugh, Alvin Kamara, Taysom Hill? If you have all of them out there on the field,
now that
Ingram is capable of receiving, you could have them all lined up there.
Right.
There are so many ways to go about that. And the argument that with Michael Thomas being out, I've seen a lot of people think that makes a stronger case for Siemian, whereas I disagree, because Siemian is just the kind of pure executor back there. He can't offer anything in terms of that mobility and trick plays in that aspect. So I don't see how you sustain 10 games in that aspect. And I don't see how you don't just kind of let Sean see what he can do now that it's not a 4-game stretch in a game plan that's not designed for a offense. And like you said, not for a quarterback who they strongly think is their next franchise
quarterback. That's an interesting point I want to touch on. And Ralph, Maddie brings something up that Drew Brees said in the golf tournament when he was here a while back, and he's also said during the quarterback competition and training camp, that if you're going to go with Taysom Hill, you have to just commit to Taysom Hill. You have to commit to that offense, build an offense around him, like Baltimore's done with Lamar Jackson.
I said the exact thing. 1-2 retake off.
And you just said something that's very interesting. Because I can hear maybe listeners saying, but wait a minute, Maddie, he had 4 games to show Sean Payton last year what he did. He had training camp. But to your point, we always knew Drew was coming back. So you couldn't exactly, perhaps, Ralph, change it completely. And you probably couldn't build a Hill offense, because what if Winston won? That's a completely different quarterback. So,
right.
And exactly that, just to add to that as well, I think a lot of the reason we saw that pocket passing in that 4-game stretch was because we all know Hill can use his legs. He's done that all season without even, you know, being the starting quarterback. It was, can he actually be a quarterback? And so when you're evaluating franchise term quarterbacks, I can see why they kept that situation last year. We saw that didn't work. So now they have a second chance, and it's kind of free reign. You know, it's not Taysom's the future of the Saints. Taysom is the next guy up. Let's build this offense around what he can do best, which is what I think Sean Payton is paramount at doing.
At the very least, Ralph, it's this. You have 10 games. Go for it.
Got to win five.
Yeah.
Got to win five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I mean, the thing that was wild to me is that in that game with Trevor Siemian, the Saints were like, oh, just we don't have James. Oh, you know what? We're gonna put a fullback in. We're gonna put a bunch of guys in the 40s. We're gonna run I like that we haven't really done all year. It's gonna be great. Like we're gonna go back to 2018 with Ingram, and like they did it and it worked. Like that's the thing I think Saints fans don't understand. Like that the Saints can change stuff on the fly in game, and not just like adjustment. I'm talking like 180 degrees from what they were gonna do. Like. That is such elite coaching. Like, I don't know that there's a better team in it. There's a better coach team in the NFL, and that's the thing that I love about this year, is can Sean Payton, can he get this ragtag injury, this, you know, crisis-affected team, can he get this team to 10 wins? The one thing with Taysom, though, and I'll say this, is with him, this team's going to be in these slop fest, like 17-13, 2016 games. And the one thing I think Taysom gives them that Trevor Siemian does not, like if say they're playing Atlanta Sunday and it's right. Atlanta's winning 16-13 and their defense played great and they shut the Saints down all game and the Saints have like a minute to go, they can run a defense. Atlanta can run a defense. They can perfectly defend everything. Trevor Siemian, he's either getting sacked or he's throwing the ball away. Taysom, he can run around and suddenly you're like, we defended that guy, gosh darn play perfectly, and he just ripped off a 30-yard run.
Like, if he's healthy to me, he's the matchup specific to the Falcons.
Yeah, so it's just, it's so interesting to me, Maddie, is like I really don't know what's, like, I just really don't know what he's going to do. And I guess he's gonna keep it under wraps, and he'll leak it to, like, his preferred media member, like, Saturday night or maybe Sunday morning.
Well,
like, How long, because you're a Rams fan, both of you are, how long do you think Sean Payton's going to try to keep this under
Friday.
Wraps?
And until it's illegal to not
well,
say
I'll,
otherwise.
I'll say this, and I joked with Maddie at the start of the show during one of the breaks, Ralph, and you know this. Teams can ask, you know, out of courtesy and access to report and what not to report. You know, Sean doesn't like people saying formations and things that is actually part of your packet when you sign for a credential. I'll say this. Practice has ended the Twitter embargo. Everyone at practice today has tweeted the following essentially one way, shape, or form. Taysom Hill, Dwayne Washington, Peyton Turner were spotted at practice. Nick Vanette was practicing today. Teron Armstead didn't practice. That's
Taysom's
it.
Starting.
That's it. Nobody that was at practice today has tweeted who took snaps. That is not coincidence. I think the team is making sure it stays under wraps, Ralph.
Yeah, and it's funny. I think
because that's the number one thing you would tweet. I mean, that's the number one thing you got to put, right? I mean,
that's
what you do.
Right? And here's the thing: I know coaches don't care about this or whatever, but I feel like Sean Payton, like this is a huge, like breaking news story, and he, out of the goodness of his heart, he should think local, not national. He should give it to like Maddie. Or Nick, or somebody local, because that's like a big deal, right?
Yeah, just tell me.
He needs to look out for the local, not the national. Because Schefter and.
Dude,
you know.
Look, don't get me started with that, Ralph. Same thing when it comes to the NBA team, man. It's pretty incredible how that happens. Ralph, I got to run, dude. Thank you as always. Appreciate it. Go check out his article at some point in the next couple of days.
And when OBJ is on the Saints, just know Ralph and I manifested that on
that's
the
right.
show.
All right,
that's
true.
Right.
Let me tell you something.
Can't understand.
If that happens next Wednesday, I'm just going to open up the phone lines. Who do you want the Saints to have? And that's it. And then we'll have Ralph and Maddie bring him the light. That's it. Thank you, Ralph. Appreciate it, sir.
All right, guys. Next week.
There he goes. 800-998-1003. Lee, we'll come to you right out of the break here as well. Still got to ask you, Maddie, about Cincinnati. What do you think they are? If they're the number six team in the country, Oklahoma, play Tulane here as well. Coach Fritz says they're absolutely one of the top four. Your take on Georgia, Alabama, Michigan State, Oregon being the top four in the college football playoff. Plus, again, we can delve into a little bit deeper. What would Trevor Siemian give you if you went that route? I think we've already discussed pretty much in depth what Hill can give you in the matchups, but what can Trevor do? Maybe take it from that perspective when we come back. So Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
And we'll raise up our glasses against evil forces, saying, whiskey for my men, beer for my horses. Whiskey for my men, beer for my horses.
It's not just Santa who's coming to town. It's also your in-laws and their cousins. So time for some gifts from the Home Depot. From doorbell cameras to intelligent thermostats, you'll look smart and save big on the latest smart home gifts. Does your father-in-law like to fix things around the house? Put him to work with a DeWalt 20-volt 2-battery starter kit. Buy one, get one free. That should keep him busy. No matter who comes to town this year, make the holidays yours with savings on tools and gifts store-wide from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
I'm 5'11",
barely 5'4".
I weigh about 170 pounds.
Brown eyes.
Blue eyes.
Brown hair.
Gray hair.
I'm a baseball fanatic.
I'm a wife.
A mom.
A sister.
And a grandfather.
I'm a bodybuilder.
I'm a research analyst.
Small business owner.
Teacher.
Dance fitness instructor.
Film and television actor.
I'm an office clerk.
I'm a copywriter.
I'm a veteran.
I have a prosthetic leg.
I have multiple sclerosis.
I have lupus.
Cerebral palsy.
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
I'm blind.
And I'm working in a job I love.
I love.
Because I was given a chance.
Because I was given a chance.
To contribute my skills and talents.
To show my disability is only one part of who I am.
Who I am.
Who I am.
At work, it's what people can do that matters.
For more information, visit whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
The devastation caused by Hurricane Ida was unprecedented. You can prevent additional damage by making a free call to 811 a few days before you dig or disturb the ground in any way. Calling 811 helps protect you from unintentional consequences caused by digging into underground utility lines. After calling 811, wait the required time, confirm all marks, and then dig with care. Call 811 before you dig. It's the law. This message is provided by Common Ground Alliance.
Can we talk
sports?
Real sports.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
All right, so practice has ended. Even Nick Underhill not giving any hints. Said it could be either Trevor Siemian or it could be...
Again, if anyone thought that there would be hints, then that's literally not football strategy.
I am happy to see Peyton Turner back.
So much.
It's another pass rusher. And
I mean, they got to Brady with three of those guys. A three-man rush is what caused that forced fumble. So adding back Peyton Turner on top of that is...
Yeah. No doubt. Lee, thank you for calling the show, sir. What do you got?
Hey, guys. You know, I just want to tell everybody I feel this way. I wouldn't expect Sean Payton to call the game plan for this deal the same way that he's been doing it. Because now you really have to be careful with him now, because that's his second concussion now. But you really got to be careful with him on how you use him. If you value him at all as a quarterback, you can't have him scatterbrained. So if you value him as a quarterback, he's going to have to be less of that taking on people, running them over. You know, he's going to have to learn how to slide. And well, maybe they need to bring a baseball instructor in the practice this week, base hitting coach, bring a base hitting coach in there and keep him out of flat. Because, dude, we need him around. With James going down, we need all hands on deck, man. We need to be around. So we're going to need him to start sliding. I'm sorry, Maddie, go ahead.
I was going to say, and that has been my reasoning for the Taysom Hill start, a lot of it being from a legitimate health perspective. I think putting him back in that Joker role with a concussion already is asking for serious long-term potential damage. And I think if he's back there at quarterback, the quarterback is exponentially more protected by the rules of the game, by the line, by the
100%,
by everything involved,
and get down.
And to your point about bringing in a baseball guy, I've kind of made this joke, but they really should bring in Drew Brees to sit Taysom Hill down and say, "You will slide. You will not go head first." Like, and in practice, like, I don't know how you go about that, but I mean, and I, if I'm Sean, I would say the same thing. If I'm putting you back at quarterback and you do not slide and you do not lead with anything but your head, then I'm going to bench you for Siemian because this is actually your health in mind. But That's my thing. And that's also, like you said, with the cognitive aspect of the having to remember everything. I think that's why I think if it were to be Taysom, we would see a very simplified 1-2 run type thing.
I agree 1,000% with you, man. I mean, it's been great watching him do that stuff, you know, do the Joker role like he's been doing. But guess what we can do? We can target somebody in the draft to do that next year. I think right now, he has more value to us. With Jameis going down, he has more value to us as a quarterback. Believe it or not, I know people are like, well, he can't throw a ball. Well, he don't have to come in the game and throw a ball. I thought he worked the intermediate part of the field pretty well. I mean, I'm just being honest. I'm calling it like I see it. I think with a good game plan, he can more than go in and do what he needs to do and make Sean Payton happy. He can do that. He's proven that. There was only one game that he had in the full start that was kind of bad. You know, that he didn't play well. We lost that game. But I'm saying all that to say this. When the coach said that he liked the room, he liked that quarterback room, we got to take him at face value that he liked that quarterback room. Because if he didn't, guess what? Phillip Rivers would be taking a physical right now.
Right.
I'm telling you. Right. If he didn't like that room, he likes that room. And he likes Taysom Hill. We all like Taysom Hill. I like Taysom Hill, too. That's why I need him to stop running.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that this whole discussion aside of Taysom Hill's value at that Joker role, I think that it to me it's irrelevant because of the health aspect of it, at least for right now, in that you can't, you know, to me, in good conscience, I can't back an idea of putting him back in that role at least this soon on. And here's my thing. Put Taysom back there. If the experiment doesn't work out, if the concussion is a lot further along by then maybe you can put him back in the Joker role and put Simeon back there. But as of right now, I don't think that Taysom should be in such a vulnerable position at Joker.
I agree. I mean, we're playing with dynamite, playing with fire, letting him go back right into his role. Maybe let's finish the season. We get into the playoffs. Maybe we should consider it during the playoffs. But right now, I say let him ease back into being a quarterback and running your game plan, throwing it when we have to throw it, but maybe, you know, doing some option stuff. You could do the option stuff with him, but just have him not go head first. Don't have to go head first, man.
Right.
You can slide, take 4 yards and slide.
Thank you for the phone call, man.
Yep.
Appreciate the phone call. Jordan Schultz covers the league. Jordan just sent me this, Maddie. Sources, Saints and Raiders have displayed interest in Odell Beckham Jr., who has currently cut contact now with head coach Kevin Stefanski. Browns could still release him, allowing him to then sign elsewhere. Even after his excused missed practice, I'm told OBJ plans to play on Sunday. Maddie, I just don't know why I want that in my lock. I'm just telling you. Baker Mayfield was just asked if he would accept an apology and goes, look, I'm not surprised. You know, a conversation will go a long way. He didn't even tell his teammates. He's just, I don't know. I don't know if that's what
I think
want.
We might
that's
be throwing glass stones at whatever that term is in terms of that, you know, with a disgruntled wide receiver, because at least Odell Beckham is able to play.
But,
so it's either go get released. You could maybe end up on so many worse teams than you're on right now.
No, I understand that. I do. I just, I don't know. In the games that I watched this year, he dropped some balls as well that went right at him. So it's just, is he mentally ready? If he comes in and wants to prove he's one of the top receivers in the league, I'm all in. But that's a big gamble and risk. Now, if he's released and he clears waivers and you can negotiate them, because they can't afford him that $9 million
right
now. And then the next 2 years, it's $13 million. So,
and you asked me earlier about, you know, the case for Trevor Siemian.
Sure.
And I think the case for Trevor Siemian is really contingent on someone like OBJ joining this team. I think Siemian is a pro at executing, and he showed just that. I don't think I've seen a better in-game quarterback switch in a very long time.
Yeah.
But it's commendable that, like I said, Garrett Griffin, Kevin White, Alex Arma, and all of them got involved. But Jameis Winston wasn't able to get that working in this offense. And Winston is, without question, the best quarterback in that room until he went out.
It is interesting, isn't it?
And so that, to me, is not sustainable through the rest of the season. It was, yeah.
So you think that was just a flash in the pan?
I don't think,
guys just
not so much
it
was a flash in the pan, but that's the guys he has chemistry with because he's running third string reps with guys like Garrett Griffin.
That's
and those
a very
people.
Good point.
But those people aren't going to be the guys, in my opinion, that are going to carry this team to a playoff run.
But what if they're the only ones that are on the field, though?
I mean, Traquan Smith, Deontay Harris, Marquez Callaway, Alvin Kamara, Mark Ingram, all of those to me are higher up. But I'm just saying, based on what I saw Sunday, I would have to see much more involvement of those other types of people, just like people kind of held that on Winston and his non-usage of Kamara, Hill's usage of non-Kamara last year. I would need to see that in action first before I'm comfortable with him moving forward.
Randy, you got about 90 seconds, sir, so I can hit the break so I can bring in the graph real quick. What you got, Randy?
Hey, what's up, Gus? How y'all doing?
Doing well.
Yeah, so I just want to say, first of all, with Baker Mayfield, man, he don't need to be worried about what Odell or his dad saying. You know, he sucks, and he needs to worry about putting up more than 10 points at home in a division game. So he don't need to be worried about what Odell or his dad saying. But, you know, I feel like I don't really know what all the hype is about, you know, who's starting at quarterback for the Saints. It's like either it's Taysom Hill or Trevor Siemian, and I'm not excited about either one of them, and the league has plenty of tape on both of them. Mm-hmm. And I just feel like, what does it say about Taysom Hill if Trevor Siemian starts over a healthy Taysom Hill that's making $120 million? You know, what does it say about Taysom Hill's progression and growth?
I also think that would be an assumption at that point of Taysom's, you know, health, to be honest with you.
No, if he's perfectly healthy.
Right, we might not get that all entirely.
Like I said, it's going to be a very interesting thing that happens. Thank you, Randy. I got to hit the break because I only have about 3 minutes left when we come back to get the graph in a very, very quick preview. Pels take on the Kings tonight at 9. We got plenty to talk about this over the next 2 days, Randy and Maddie, because we're going to be speculating because clearly by today's reaction and action by the team, we're not going to know for a while who's going to start, and I don't mind it. Let the Dirty Birds sweat a bit. So Sports Hangover next on ESPN New Orleans.
She said, don't I know ya? Honey, don't I know ya? Honey, don't I know ya? It was the very first time we laid eyes on
ya. This Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Ashley Barrios and Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs. The NFL trade deadline came and went on Tuesday. Now, several reports had them making phone calls around the league for receiver, but at the end of the deadline, no moves. Who dats? You don't want to hear this, but a main reason for all of the phone calls, perhaps? The health status of receiver Michael Thomas. NFL Network's Ian Rappaport gave not so good news Wednesday morning.
He is dealing with a new and separate ankle injury. Remember, he had ankle surgery this spring that put him on the sidelines through the beginning of the season. He now has a new issue, and I'm told in the last couple days he saw a specialist to try to ascertain when is he going to be back and what issues in fact need to be fixed. I talked to a source informed of the situation about when he is going to be able to be back. I was told it is unpredictable. So if you were wondering why the Saints behind the scenes tried to trade for a receiver yesterday while they talked to several teams about a potential deal that never ended up happening, this is why, because we do not know when Saints receiver Michael Thomas is going to be able to be on the field because of a new issue in his ankle.
New Orleans, a 6-point favorite over Atlanta in the noon kickoff on Sunday in the Dome. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Ashley Barry Austin Cutoff, State Farm, the company people have trusted for more than 90 years. See Ashley today for all of your insurance needs.
I was surprised.
I was definitely surprised.
Yep, we had no idea. Totally surprised.
Can you say jaw drop?
Who knew? State Farm, with these great rates?
The surprise everyone's talking about is the surprisingly great rates for home and auto insurance from State Farm, especially when you combine them.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios and cut off today. 985-632-0988.
DraftKings Sportsbook is coming soon to Louisiana, and it won't be long until you can bet on all of your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. To celebrate, DraftKings Sportsbook is giving customers $100 in free bets when you sign up before they go live. No deposit required. DraftKings is bringing their experience as a leader in daily fantasy sports to the sports betting world and have created one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, DraftKings Sportsbook.
Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code LAROSE when you sign up. Those who sign up right now will get $100 in free bets to use once mobile sports betting hits Louisiana. That's code LAROSE to get $100 in free bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-877-70-STOP. 21 and over. Louisiana only. Availability varies by parish. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for full terms and conditions.
What would you say you do here?
Sports.
All day long.
Hello, sports fan.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
He's still in the backcourt. Graham to Najee. Drives. Kick it left corner. Trey for the three.
Yes, sir. Trey Murphy.
So he has attempted three corner threes, and he's made two of them.
There you go. Voice of the New Orleans Pelicans, Ty Graffinini at NC Graf, joining us for a quick preview. I've been saying, hey, they play Wednesday. Guess what, Todd? Today's Wednesday. How are you, sir?
I'm all right, Gus and Maddie. I know I'm in a different city than yesterday, and I know that I got a game tonight. So
You're in my city, though, right?
Do you have anything you
want? No, I'm in Sacramento.
You're making your way up there.
Yes. Is there anything you need to get off your chest first before we get to the game?
I do. I've listened to your entire show. Very passionate fans. I've enjoyed the discourse. I'm just going to have to say this. And again, I appreciate all the passion that the fans have about the Saints and the Pelicans. But I Gus, as you know, and you've known me for a very long time, I have many, 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 many pet peeves. Many. What is my number one pet peeve, Gus? And you should know because you do this a lot.
You have a lot of pet peeves. I don't know.
I know.
I do this a lot. Right. Play doctor, play GM.
No, close.
Offensive coordinator, head coach.
You're hitting all the lists, but no, yeah. it's second guessing.
Yes.
You are the master of second guessing. And
I'm a doctor in second guessing, Graf, a doctor.
But if I hear one more person talk about Zion and Ja Morant, I think my head is going to explode. Gus, were you there on draft night?
I was.
On Fulton Street?
I was.
Okay, so was I. Let's go back a couple of years and say everybody's sitting there and waiting for Adam Silver to come out. And if Adam Silver comes out and says, with the first pick in the NBA draft, the New Orleans Pelicans select Ja Morant, what do you think would have happened on Fulton Street?
Boo.
There would have been a riot, Gus. There would have been a riot. And if you talk to any general manager or owner in the top 10 picks of the draft, Mark Spears had that article. One GM said that maybe they might have taken Ja Morant, but that would have been nicked by the owner. So don't insult people's intelligence and say that anybody was drafting Ja Morant over Zion Williamson. Every other opinion, that's fine. But don't that's. I had to get that off my chest.
All right.
It would have been a riot.
No, I hear you. Herbert Jones, I want you to touch on this. We only have about 3 minutes left, Ty. We break at 55 now. So the plus minus, it's a stat that a lot of people kind of touch on and all, but it was tangible, visible, noticeable yesterday when he got the inadvertent elbow by Valanciunas and suffered a concussion in his eye. The game changed. And he's not a scorer. I mean, he's not changing the game by threes and points. Is it pretty remarkable the impact he has on this team, though?
Yes, and what he does on the defensive end cannot be understated. He is just a difference maker. His basketball IQ is off the charts, which, again, is remarkable considering he's a rookie. We did a little research after the game, Gus, and, I hate always being right. But at the 11:03 mark in the third quarter last night when that happened, and again, it's just a complete and utter fluke play. You know, Valanciunas swung the elbow and Herb Jones's right temple happened to be in the way. They had no idea that, that was going to happen. And I told Daniel Salerson literally when that happened, when he left the court, I said, mark the time on this because this is going to be an impact on the rest of this game. Thus, he left the game at 11:03 in the third quarter. The Pelicans were leading 61-50. The final score was 112-100 Phoenix. The Pelicans got outscored 62-34 from that point.
And that's a difference.
Look, and, yep. So, here's the other thing, too. Devin, yep. I know, I got to hurry. Devin Booker literally left the game for 10 minutes because he was that frustrated. He was gone for an entire quarter, Todd, because he could not make a shot.
No, look, it's a big difference tonight, 9 o'clock. We'll see what happens. Pels and Kings right here on your home for Pelicans basketball. ESPN New Orleans. Thank you, sir. Adios.